Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. I welcome you to another episode on Every Day with Jesus broadcast. This is episode 66. Hallelujah. I've been studying metaphors for salvation, sanctification. And in the last episode, we saw how sanctification and holiness are the same. The man that is sanctified is the man that has been made holy in Christ. We also saw clearly from scriptures how that the way the apostles gave instruction on how believers ought to walk in sanctification, possess their vessels in honor, in sanctification, is from the standpoint of us realizing that God has called us in holiness, God has sanctified us, and because of this, there's a need for us to reckon this in our walk. Hallelujah. And what has really been laid on my heart to share today is to clarify all this confusion in the body of Christ concerning holiness. There's so much confusion on the subject of holiness in the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, for some denominations, holiness seems to be the gospel. So you find out that they are so emphatic on holiness, 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 how people should live a holy life, how people should live a holy life. Without holiness, no man shall see God. We'll come to that scripture sometime later. But then you find out that they are so emphatic on holiness to a point where you begin to wonder if the gospel is all about holiness. Hallelujah. You know, there's this misconception. People assume that holiness is the height of it. Holiness is the height of it. That, see, if a man becomes holy, then he has pleased the Father. Glory to Jesus. You see, what makes us pleasing in the sight of God is the sacrifice of Jesus. What makes us acceptable? Look at Ephesians 1. What makes us acceptable in the sight of God is the sacrifice of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So we've been accepted on the basis of Christ's sacrifice. We've been accepted on the grounds of the merits of Jesus' finished work. We are not accepted because we've achieved or attained unto holiness in our work. We are accepted because we are in the beloved. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Listen, holiness is not the height of it. Holiness is the basic thing. It's so basic to our faith. Holiness is not the height of it. Holiness is the starting point for the believer. Hallelujah. So holiness is not the gospel. Holiness is not the gospel. Now, it's even so bad that if what people are even preaching is holiness, it would have been good enough. What a lot of people are emphasizing, what they are emphasizing and what they teach as holiness is not even what is in the Bible. It's not even an outward show of sanctification. It is legalism. Legalism. Self-effort. Human commandments and traditions. Glory to Jesus. And that is very awkward. Holiness is not some very tough doctrine. That if you have come to understand everything, the moment you understand holiness, you just understood God's word. It's so basic. We started out as holy. And that's why we saw in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, how the Bible refers to us as a holy nation. All of us together, the general overseer, the bishop, the reverend, the pastor, the church rat, anybody at all in the church is referred to as holy in the sight of God. Hallelujah. All of us. It's so basic. Glory to Jesus. Such that in the light of Christ's redemption, there is nobody in the family of God, there's nobody in Christ, there's nobody in the church, in the body of Christ, that is more holy than the rest. Hallelujah. Nobody is more holy than the rest. It's so amazing that Christ is not more holy than the church. He has made the church as holy unto himself and as himself. He made us holy in his sight as he is. So are we in this world. Hallelujah. So it's always a funny sight when you see a man of God, a preacher of the gospel, that stands in such self-styled, pretentious holiness, in the which he says, Lord, I'm standing in gap between you and your people. You don't seem to get this. You don't seem to get this. Lord, I'm standing in gap between you and your people. Who is he? Who are the people? Who is he? Is he not part of the people? Hallelujah. He feels that he has something in God that is special. He thinks he has something in God that gives him a unique access to God. You know, we've heard men of God make statements like, I put my chest on the breast of the Almighty. I hear his heartbeat and things like that. It gives you a faulty picture of the man. You are not seeing him according to scriptures. You are seeing him according to his words. He assumes that he has a unique or special access to God. Ladies and gentlemen, the access we have to God, the access that you have to God, is the same access the most revered man of God on the face of the earth today has to God. The same access. Hallelujah. The same access. Glory to Jesus. The same access that you have to God, to the Father, is the same access. The greatest, the most revered man of God or preacher of the gospel on the face of the earth today is the same access. We all have the same access to the Father. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off and to those who are near. For through him we both have access by one spirit to the Father. Hallelujah. Gone are the days of the Old Testament. There is nobody standing in gap between God and his children. Nobody. But that's why the Bible refers to all of us as a royal priesthood. So you don't have a priest mediating between God and his people anymore on the face of the earth. The only person that is a high priest, that is a mediator between God and man, is Christ Jesus. Guess what? He brought us into the family of God to have a direct relationship with the Father. Jesus says, in that day you ask me nothing. Whatever you ask the Father in my name. So Jesus is not even standing between us and God. He brought us to the Father. Hallelujah. That's why upon his resurrection, while he was ascending, he says, I go to my God and your God, my Father and your Father. Hallelujah. My Father and your Father. Because all of us have the same access to God in Christ Jesus by faith. Look at Hebrews 10. The same access. Hebrews 10, 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You see, in the Old Testament, there was a place they called the holiest of all. And only the high priest went into that place every year. Only the high priest. So the high priest had a special access, in quotes, under the Old Testament. Not that he was dealing with God. It was just a shadow and a type. So everybody on the outside is considered to be on the outside, to not have that access. So the man goes in there. But if you look at it carefully, the ministry of the high priest under the Old Testament that demanded or required him to go into the most holy place under the Old Covenant every year had to do with sacrifice for sins. Praise God. It wasn't about having a special access to pray. It wasn't about having a special access to be declaring blessings on God's people. It was about the sacrifice for sin. Hebrews 10. Look at this carefully. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year. Hallelujah. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. What was happening in the holy place, in the most holy place every year, was the sacrifice for sin. Look at Hebrews 9. Glory to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. Have you seen? So in the Old Testament, the concept of entering the most holy place, which was a place that was exclusive to the ministry of the high priest, is about the sacrifice offered for sins yearly. It had nothing to do with a special access to pray. It had nothing to do with a special access to lay claim on God. Hallelujah. It was about offering sacrifices for sin. In Christ Jesus, that veil was torn. Hallelujah. That thing that gave the high priest an exclusive access, so to speak, in the which he was entering the most holy place alone, that thing ended with the sacrifice of Jesus. Hallelujah. The day Jesus died on the cross, Bible says the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. It was a sign to show men that finally a high priest has entered the most holy place once for all. There won't be a need for a repeated sacrifice. Hallelujah. It has ended. That the high priest used to go every year, it has ended. The veil was torn supernaturally from the top to the bottom. Hallelujah. And Bible now says in Hebrews 10:19 that we just read, that we all have access and boldness to enter the most holy place by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. The holiest of all by the blood of Christ. And the holy place on the face of the earth was a symbol and a type and a shadow. We have entered heaven itself. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus. That's where the holy place is. Look at Hebrews 10. You know, many times when we say, for believing in the gospel, you have entered heaven. You've made heaven. We're not just talking from our heads. We're not just talking out of excitement or some juvenile delinquency. We are talking based on the authority of scriptures, what the Bible says and teaches. Hallelujah. For instance, look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So where did Jesus enter as the high priest? The most holy place that Jesus entered, heaven itself. That is the same place. Bible says we have access to enter by the blood of Christ. Hebrews 10:19. So we have entered heaven by the blood of Jesus. And that's the holiest place. The presence of God. Heaven itself. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So no preacher of the gospel, no man of God today, no leader of a church denomination is more holy than anybody. He's as holy as the least of the saints. Hallelujah. Every spiritual leader in the body of Christ today, every single one of them, as holy as the least of the saints. Glory to Jesus. The least of the saints, in quotes. Hallelujah. Because holiness is a common heritage. Holiness is a common heritage. By virtue of Christ's death and resurrection, we were brought forth as a holy nation in the sight of God. He calls us a holy nation. So it's a common heritage of the people of God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So don't let anybody deceive you. Holiness is not exclusive to anybody. Nobody has an exclusive access to God based on his own personal holiness, self-styled holiness. No, the holiness that gives us access to the Father is the holiness that came by the blood of Christ Jesus. And it is given to all of us. Hallelujah. Given to all of us. You know where the discrimination comes from today? From man-made laws and traditions. Let me quickly begin to show you. Man-made laws and traditions. Glory to Jesus. Colossians in chapter 2. You find all kinds of strange teachings and traditions and commandments that people give and lay down today as a yardstick for becoming holy. It is so sad. Glory to Jesus. It's so sad. Colossians chapter 2. I'll just read a few verses, give you some examples, and we close. Hallelujah. Colossians 2. Look at this carefully. Let me start from verse 11. Bible says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. How many trespasses? All trespasses. How many trespasses? All trespasses. There is no sin that can come between you and God ever again in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Someone says, the eyes of the Lord are too holy to behold sin. Well, when God beholds us, he doesn't see sin. He sees us in Christ Jesus. He sees his holiness. He sees us without spot and blame, without blemish in his sight. Hallelujah. His eyes are too holy and we are also very holy. Hallelujah. His eyes are so holy and we are also very, very holy. So we are very compatible. Glory to Jesus. When he sees us, he sees his holiness. Hallelujah. So having wiped out all trespasses, verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Verse 16, begin to pay attention now. Pay more attention. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival, or a new moon, or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. In the New Testament, the substance is Christ. Christ is the substance of the New Testament. Not food, not drinks. We are not to be judged by anything external. Hallelujah. As pertaining to ceremonial things, ceremonial religious commitments. We are talking about Christ, the substance of Old Testament ceremonies and ordinances. Glory to Jesus. And Christ is the focus of the New Testament. And in as much as holiness is a part and parcel of the gospel, a part and parcel of what Jesus accomplished for you and I by his death and resurrection, by his finished work, holiness is not the emphasis of the New Testament. Christ is. Hallelujah. Christ is the emphasis. Holiness is not what has the spotlight. It is Christ. Glory to Jesus. So that the man that will teach you to walk in holiness is the man that must point to Christ regularly. The man that will teach you to walk in sanctification is the man that must point you to Christ. Christian living finds effective expression as we focus our attention on Jesus and what he has done. Philemon 1:6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective, may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Christ is the focus of the New Testament. It is not holiness. If we preach holiness and holiness and we emphasize holiness and holiness to the neglect of the finished work of Christ, we are going to produce pretentious believers. Believers who are walking in pretense. How are you coping? Hope you are living well. Hope you are living right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He goes behind and begins to cry. Because the truth is, the only way a man is going to find strength to walk in holiness as a lifestyle is when he fixes his gaze on Jesus and what he has done. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Back to Colossians 2. Glory to Jesus. So he says Christ is the substance. All other things that came before Christ in the Old Testament were shadows. Christ is the substance. Verse 18, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which are not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body nourished and knit together by joints and ligament grows with the increase that is from God. Look at verse 20, therefore if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not undo. Have you seen? Why are you submitting yourselves? Now, it's amazing. While growing up, the way this portion of scripture was taught to me was different. In fact, preachers were teaching it. They were teaching the very thing Paul was forbidding here. So rather than teach that you ought not to submit to such rules, preachers were teaching, do not touch. Do not taste. Do not undo. That's not what Paul is saying here. In fact, this is what Paul is criticizing here. Paul is saying we shouldn't submit to such regulations like this. Glory to Jesus. Do not touch. Of course, he was talking within the boundaries of Old Testament shadows. So, there were things forbidden in the Old Testament. There were things forbidden, things not to eat, things not to drink, days of worship and things like that, things to abstain from, ceremonial things. He says, don't submit to rules like this. Hallelujah. He says, they concern, look at verse 22 again, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. Verse 23, these things indeed, verse 23, pay attention. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Have you seen? These things have an appearance of wisdom. And this is what is prevalent in the body of Christ today. This is what is prevalent in the church today. We have Christian uniforms and garments, a form of godliness. If you are a member of a particular denomination, once you step into a place, we know you by how you dress. Hallelujah. Nothing wrong in dressing modestly. Nothing wrong in dressing moderately. But you see, when we impose upon believers a certain dress code, a particular way of dressing, things to wear and things to not wear, beyond the idea of, what is exposing your body and, the general common, decency that we know that we all should uphold. There are things that are given to men, strict rules. And you begin to wonder, what is this about? Hallelujah. What is this about? It is because the focus is off holiness as it is taught in the Bible. And people are developing their own idea of holiness, a form of godliness. Is that not where all these prohibitions, don't wear earring, don't use earring and gold and all these things, that's where they came from. And ladies, women have been at the receiving end of most of these prohibitions. Hallelujah. They've been at the receiving end of most of these prohibitions. Jewelries, makeup, hallelujah. women are even forbidden from wearing trousers. And you know, we judge people to be holy based on a strict adherence to those laws, which is very funny. Now, we are only producing men with a form of godliness, men who are pretenders. Because you know what? People are constantly wearing all those things. They are not just wearing it in church. That's the truth. People are constantly wearing those things. So, they come to church with their Christian garments, they get back to their houses and put on the so-called sinful garments. They come to church without hearings. In fact, some people come to church, as they're about to step into the church, they remove their hearing. As they're about to step into the church, they remove their bracelets and all that. We are preaching the wrong thing, because holiness in Christ Jesus is a status, number one. Secondly, the holiness and the sanctification that this knowledge of our position in Christ is meant to inform does not deal with outward forms of godliness. It doesn't deal with outward forms of godliness, pretentious character and conduct. It's a specific conduct, a lifestyle produced by the knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah. A lifestyle produced by the knowledge of Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 2 again. Colossians 2 verse 23. It says, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion. Have you seen self-imposed? God is not involved. It is not an instruction from the scriptures. So this is how to judge it. Any instruction not found in scripture that has to do with externals, that has to do with how you ought to conduct yourself to be pleasing to God, that is not found in scriptures, that cannot be traced to Bible instructions in the New Testament, is false. It's a commandment of man. Hallelujah. Don't wear this, don't do this, don't do that. In fact, Paul shows us something. Look at this. Look at this. Before we go there, let's conclude Colossians 1:23. It says, self-imposed religion, false humility. Have you seen? It gives you a sense of false humility. You think you are the one who's doing the right thing. False humility. Neglect of the body. You can neglect your body. You are not taking care of yourself. You are doing, you are not making your hair. Some women will open their hair like this. You flee for cover. Hallelujah. You flee for cover because they've been instructed not to use relaxers. They've been instructed not to make their hair, not to add any attack, not to, you don't beautify yourself. You are looking so old though you are 22. Hallelujah. You are just 22 years old. Yet a young man of 30 cannot even approach you and propose to you because you look like his grandmother. Religion has made you like that. It is so awkward. Neglect of the body. But I have no value against the indulgence of the flesh. That's the real problem. In spite of all the laws and the rules you are adhering onto, the truth of the matter is, those things do not have the power to subdue the lust of the flesh. That's why in such places, there's an alarming, a staggering rate of immorality. Hallelujah. Because what changes the man is not neglect of the body, it's the renewing of the mind. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if you like neglect of your body, neglect everything around you, don't eat, don't do anything at all, don't wear clothes, don't neglect everything that has to do with the external. The moment your mind is not renewed, you walk in the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. They cannot guard against the indulgence of the flesh. Glory to Jesus. Look at what Paul spoke about in 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. And this is where I'm going to be closing today. There's a lot to say on this matter. And then I want to plead with you to have an open heart, to receive these things in meekness, with all sense of humility. And then your life will not remain the same. Glory to Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at this. A form of godliness that is being promoted in the body of Christ has achieved nothing. It has only produced pretenders. Men who are not free to communicate and tell us their weaknesses, tell us their areas of struggles, tell us how that they are struggling with things. But they keep appearing modest. They keep appearing godly, appearing to be walking in sanctification because we have given them Christian garments. So once you fit into that garment, you are doing fine. Hallelujah. No matter how much habits are besetting you or plaguing you, the moment you wear a kaftan and you have your hat or beret and you have, there's no hearing, we say, wow, this sister is doing doing fine. Sister Toke, you are doing fine. Sister Toke, my daughter. Sister Toke, my daughter. How are you today? The glory of the Lord is upon you. I can see the glory of God all over you. The kaftan is the glory of God. The no hearing is the glory of God. There's another woman that walks towards you, or a lady dressed smart. She's wearing a trouser suit. You're not even concerned about the fact that this is decent and modest enough. But because she has worn a trouser, she has flouted your rule of holiness. And because of that, you begin to give counsel. You begin to give all manner of counsel. You say, be steadfast, sister Bola, be steadfast. Look at Sister Toke, emulate this. Yet Sister Toke is dying in silence. Yet Sister Bola is the one that prays in tongues after church. She's the one that goes on evangelism. She's the one that is busy about the things of God. She's the one that has found her feet established in the truth of Christ Jesus and is walking in the victory that Jesus has accomplished and bought for us. Hallelujah. But because you are so myopic, you are judging by externals that have nothing to do with scriptures. The fruit of the Spirit is not a dress code. The fruit of the Spirit is a lifestyle. The fruit of the Spirit is not a dress code. It's a lifestyle. Hallelujah. So what you see in scriptures, you find an emphasis on put on Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus. Put on Christ. Put on the Lord. Let me show you three in quick successions. Romans chapter 14. Glory to Jesus. What we are to put on our Christian garment is Christ. Romans chapter 14, glory to Jesus. Romans in chapter 14, I'll read verse, glory to God. Romans 14, verse 14, Bible says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill his lust. By putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, you make no provision for the flesh. What is the Lord Jesus Christ? The Spirit. Galatians 5:16, and walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's saying the same things in different ways. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians, glory to God. Our garment. So the emphasis is on putting on Christ, walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Even when it comes to matters of dressing decently, a man that walks in the Spirit or a woman that walks in the Spirit knows what to wear. Hallelujah. Knows what to wear. But away from that, many of the things that have been laid down as rules on what to wear, how to dress and all, there are things that do not even have to do with decency. It's just like illiteracy. Amen. It's not even about decency. You are just being unnecessarily burdensome. Glory to Jesus. Look at this now. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. Bible says, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That you put on the new man. The new man here speaks of Christ. Hallelujah. Look at Colossians, the same thing. Put on the Lord Jesus, put on Christ, put on the Lord Jesus, put on the new man is the same. Walk in the Spirit, the same. Colossians chapter 3, glory to Jesus. Colossians in chapter 3, I'll read from verse 9. It says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You've put on the new man. Hallelujah. You put on the new man. Glory to Jesus. Look at verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Put on tender mercies. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So you discover that the things we are instructed to put on are things that have to do with a new lifestyle. A new kind of lifestyle. Hallelujah. Dressing is the least of our problems, of our worries today. It's the least. Hallelujah. If a man is well taught the word of God, if a man begins to walk in the Spirit, he knows his place and identity in Christ Jesus, he will mind his dressing. See, nobody has given me rules on how to dress. Nobody has given my sisters rules on how to dress. They just know how to dress. Nobody has to. Because the Spirit of God within you would instruct you. You know what is decent. As a matter of fact, listen to this carefully. Every one of us have an idea of what it means to dress decently, even unbelievers. Listen well. Everybody has an idea. There's a conscience. There's an instinct. A general knowledge of what is decent and what is bad enough. What is good enough, what is bad enough. We all have that idea. You know what is wrong? What is wrong is not that we don't know what is decent. What is wrong is that people know these things, but they have chosen to not dress decently because of the Spirit at work in them. People know what is decent, but they have chosen not to dress decently because of the Spirit at work in them. Hallelujah. Because of their unrenewed minds, because of the darkness of their hearts. So when a man renews his mind, he begins to do what is right. He knows what is, he has known what is right even before coming into Christ. As you know, as touching dressing, decency. He knows what is right. So, but the power to dress appropriately, the power to not choose the lust of the flesh over what is right is what was missing. So if we focus on teaching men who they are in Christ and, you know, promoting a walk in the Spirit, automatically people will make the right choices. Hallelujah. People will make the right choices. Glory be to God. So let me quickly show you this as I close. I promise to show you 2 Timothy. Look at what Paul said. Paul spoke about the last days. Glory to Jesus. Because if we focus on externals, rules that have to do with promoting a form of godliness, we'll be missing the point. And that's the problem in the body of Christ today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 1. The Bible says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, all these things listed are very, very poor conduct. Very bad conduct. It all reflects a poor lifestyle, an unrighteous lifestyle. Yet, verse 5, this same set of people, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people, turn away. Hallelujah. Having a form of godliness. And what is missing here? The knowledge of the word. The truth of the gospel of Christ. Because if you read further, you discover that what is missing is the knowledge of Christ. It's the knowledge of the word of God. Hallelujah. So he says in verse 6, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So you see that the deficiency that they had or that they have, this set of people will have, is the knowledge of Christ. The knowledge. Always learning, but they've not been able to come to a full knowledge of the truth. Glory to Jesus. That's the problem. Hallelujah. That's the problem. That's the problem. Now, if you read further, when it gets to verse 12, it says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So what is happening? The reason, what produced this set of people, what produced this category of men who have a form of godliness, yet do not have the lifestyle of godliness, is deception. Hallelujah. Absence of knowledge. Absence of the knowledge of the truth. Deception. Verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. That is, if you must avoid this kind of trap, you must continue in the doctrine. Glory to God. And that's when he says, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So have you seen that the Scriptures are sufficient? They are enough to furnish us unto every good work. We don't need external rules. We don't need man-made laws. We don't need self-imposed religion that makes us have a false appearance in the sight of men. We need the Scriptures, the truth of the word of God. It is able to mature us and furnish us unto every good work. Glory be to God. I'm going to continue this teaching next week on Monday. Do go to tune in. Don't miss it for anything. Hallelujah. Do go to tune in. Invite your friends, your relatives, anybody at all. Put on your social media handles and let's invite people to come and have a great time in the word of God. Do have a great day and a great weekend, full of the word, full of the spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs, and then be a blessing to somebody. Don't forget to go to church on Sunday. I hope there's nobody listening to this broadcast that says, my own church is Every Day with Jesus. No, Every Day with Jesus is an outreach platform. It's an outreach. It's a broadcast. It does not in any way substitute the physical gathering of the saints. So make sure you go to church on Sunday. Hallelujah. See you in the next episode.